In 2015, the United Nations convened the 21st Annual Climate Change Conference in Paris, France. Hundreds of people gathered, not only official delegates, but people like Clay Nessler as well. Nessler is Vice President of Sustainability with Johnson Controls.
2015 in Paris was very significant because countries came together and agreed on a new approach which would address the challenge of climate change and try to keep temperatures below the 2 degrees C limit. It was based on intended nationally determined contributions in that each country essentially came up with a plan and a commitment or a commitment range of what they would contribute collectively to achieving that 2 degree target.
Another Wisconsin attendee was La Crosse-based pediatrician Jeff Thompson, CEO emeritus of Gunderson Health System. Gunderson has dramatically reduced its carbon footprint in recent years.
We define the health as both your physical health, how you breathe, how your heart's working, whether you have asthma attacks or not, but also economic health. And so we said we will stop hurting our patients and our community with the pollution generated from our energy sources, and we would do it in a way that would save the system money and improve the local economy.
President Trump has withdrawn from the Paris Climate Agreement, but international meetings continue to push plans forward, and with Americans like Thompson and Nessler still at the table.
This week, San Francisco is hosting a summit, and Dr. Thompson and Clay Nessler will be there. Lake Effect Susan Benz talked with each of them by phone before they headed west.
We'll hear first from Johnson Controls' Clay Nessler. Back in 2015, Susan met him in Milwaukee, where Nessler described his company's approach to sustainability. He's now based in Washington, D.C., and Nessler gave Susan Benz a preview of some of the innovations that will be featured in the summit, which begins tomorrow.
There's a new initiative called Science-Based Targets, where essentially use the best climate science available to identify what goals within your industry sector should you target in order to contribute on a fair and equitable basis to the mitigation of climate change. So we're at this point, we've improved the energy productivity of our operations, which is the amount of revenue generated per BTU or gigajoule of energy use, by over 90%. So this is something that we have committed to early as a company. We've set aggressive goals. We've met those goals ahead of schedule, and we will continue in the future to make goals very consistent with what we are able to do practically, as well as setting goals that are what is really required to achieve the targets of the Paris Agreement.
So back to the science-based targets, where did that formula or their template come from?
There's a number of organizations working together to work with organizations to help them define what are called science-based targets for carbon reduction within your own footprint, your use of electricity, your use of gas, the transportation fuel use of your fleets. But they also include being able to influence your supply chain, both the embodied energy and carbon in the materials that you would source to manufacture your products, as well as the impact of your products through use and end of life. It's so a very rigorous approach. And one of the big objectives of the Global Climate Action Summit is the chairman of Mahindra challenged other companies to set science-based targets with a goal of 500 organizations committing to set those targets in the future. We are one of those companies, and I don't know if we've hit 500, but I know we were very close last week, so stay tuned on that.
Is that then going to be the centerpiece of your conversations with people when at the summit, this particular target?
To some extent, yes. That is something that is certainly new and incremental, which we are bringing forth. But there's something called the Carbon Smart Buildings Day, which I'll be involved in and speaking at, which is really focused on a particular sector, the building sector. And of course, that's near and dear to our technology and solutions business based in Milwaukee. And the discussion there will be how can the building sector contribute what it could and should towards the Paris goals, with a very high and ambitious goal of having all new construction in 2030 be net zero carbon, and plans to convert existing buildings into net zero carbon by 2050. These are very aspirational goals, but exactly the kind of thing which makes people think differently about the issue. A lot of the carbon in the construction industry is actually in the materials, the steel, the cement that are used to build new buildings. And of course, many of those buildings are being built outside the United States, in China, India, and other developing countries. So there's a ripple effect of really addressing buildings, not only making a more efficient, greater use of renewable energy, energy storage can make their operation more efficient, but we're thinking even broader about how to reduce the amount of carbon or energy used in the materials, and potentially someday maybe even being able to store some of that carbon in the materials. And buildings are expected to have to contribute almost half of the greenhouse gas reductions over the 2050 time period. So that is a very great priority for many in the industry and most of the countries that are focused on the Paris Agreement.
When we talked, what seems like a long time ago, in 2015, you mentioned that the private sector is important to solving climate change challenges. And you talked about some governments being far more aggressive in their goals and their involvement than others. What's your read on the balance of the importance of those two?
Yeah, so at least in the buildings area, which we're closest to at Johnson Controls, a lot of the action takes place in cities. That's where building codes are established and enforced. That's where the construction is. The improvements that we need to make are very local. Someone has to come in and insulate a home. They have to replace incandescent bulbs with LED bulbs. All that work happens locally. And it's local leadership at a city and in some cases a state level that really drive the improvements. Government's a very broad term, and I think we see a lot of leadership. I think we see a lot of ambition, and I think we see a lot of impact coming from cities, which, you know, with urbanization and with the rising middle class, particularly outside the U.S., I think there's great urgency and relying on city and local governments to show the leadership there.
So you're not spending time knocking on doors at Capitol Hill?
I still spend time knocking on doors in Washington. We work very closely with the Department of Energy, with the State Department on international issues, with the Environmental Protection Agencies. Those programs are still underway. I just got back from the Better Buildings Summit in Cleveland, Ohio, which is a very large DOE event. Much of the activities that were created over, in some cases, decades are business as usual and moving forward. And we look to where the leadership is and where the greatest impact can be made.
Clay Nessler is Vice President of Sustainability with Wisconsin-based Johnson Controls. Dr. Jeff Thompson will also be at this week's Climate Summit in San Francisco. Thompson is CEO Emeritus of Gunderson Health System.
He talked about the process through which Gunderson has become more environmentally responsible.
So we set out on that journey in from 2008 to 2014-15, right in that time period, we were able to drop our pollutants that asthmatics breathe and heart patients breathe and adult lung patients have to breathe in, by 95%, the amount of mercury that's put out in the environment from burning coal by 95%, and we made money, and we did it all with locally sourced energy supply that boosted the local economy. So we're able to do all those things, which is why they asked us to present our story at the Climate Talks in Paris and many other places around the country and around the world to say, look, this is how a healthcare organization takes care of its community.
So I listened in on a Live from Paris event in which you participated. I think it was during the Paris event in December 2015. And you mentioned then that it's obvious, but not to everyone, that health and climate change are tied together, that also social justice and climate change are intertwined.
Well, it's very true. You know, like all major struggles, and climate change is listed by virtually everyone that measures it. I mean, geopolitical folks, as well as climate people, as one of the great struggles of this coming century. It's almost always the least advantaged that get hurt the most. So when the giant heat waves come, it's people that can't afford air conditioning or in marginal situations. They can't afford the, you know, it's either air conditioning or food or their medicines. Which do they spend their money on? Because they don't have enough for everything. It is in floods and you know, the people with the least amount of assets that are usually hurt the most, and, you know, they don't have generators and they don't have ways to get out and they don't have other options. So in times of climate-related migration events, we've seen many places in the world after terrible droughts or terrible flooding, it's those with the least assets that get hurt the most. And so it's going to affect all of us. And even the people that say, well, you know, I'm not in that category. I'm really fine. I'm going to be fine. The truth is the money used to take care of these extreme weather events or the increase in mosquito and other vector-borne illnesses, the effects from bad air quality that kill millions in the world every year, that money could be used for other things. It could be used for roads. It could be used for schools. It could be used for lower taxes. It could be used for a lot of other things. So we just feel that it's a responsible corporate citizen to do that, and that's one of the things that this Global Climate Action Summit in San Francisco is going to be about. Is it's not just healthcare organizations, although it'll be many from around the world, but there'll be major businesses around the United States and the world saying this is exactly what we need to do as responsible community and national citizens to take this on.
So in 2015, you said governments can't be responsible for fixing all of the elements that contribute to climate change, but it can smooth the pathway. So do you think that's possible in our current political climate here in the United States?
Oh, sure. I think it is. It's just a different group has to take responsibility. Instead of expecting a president to lead on this for the long-term good of the whole population, just not happening. So other people have to rise up. Corporations can rise up. So states can rise up. Individual organizational groups, Healthcare Without Harm is a national, international organization that organizes health systems. I mean, where healthcare is 18% of the United States GDP. If we all get organized towards improving the health of the population broadly, how we source all of our equipment, how we source all our medications, how we use and produce energy, we can have a huge impact. So just sitting back and whining because the president doesn't agree with this is taking the wrong path, in my opinion. And so we just need to take it on.
So you're heading out to San Francisco. What will your role be there, and what do you hope could come out of these discussions?
There's the Global Climate Action Summit. Then there's dozens of other convenings around that gathering. So there's a healthcare one. There's a broader roundtable, an international roundtable that has healthcare. The World Health Organization is there. People from India and China. I'll be on a panel with a leader from China, a leader from India, one from the National Health Service of England, who've done some terrific work to try and understand their impact on their communities. And so we'll do a couple things. Most of all, we'll kind of share best practices. Here's what we did. Here's how we did it. Here's the barriers we had. Here's how we overcame them. So it can be shared with other people around the world. But we'll also try and build paths forward and say, how do we as a group put pressure pressure on international organizations or the international treaties not necessarily political, but get information out to the media so there's a clearer understanding of what the pathway forward could look like. So with a combined power of the governmental agencies that are there and healthcare sector and the IT sector and the business sector, there's a big banking sector that's there that see the impact of disastrous climate on many of their investments. So we put all these sectors together and share best ideas from each one and then develop plans to move forward to say what action do we need to take ourselves and what can we encourage others to do to more quickly move this forward.
Dr. Jeff Thompson is CEO Emeritus of La Crosse-based Gunderson Health System. He's attending this week's Climate Summit, which begins tomorrow in San Francisco. He spoke with Susan Bentz, and you can read more at wuwm.com.